He can shift something fast. Yes? And His presence in your life, if you are open to seeking the presence of God in your life, something can shift in a moment. Amen? Anyone believe that God can do something in a moment this morning? Amen? Amen. I'm going to read you a passage. Last week, I was sitting here in worship. It's just before Innocent came to preach. And I said, God, I'm on next week. I've got some ideas. But what is it that you want to do? And he said, Alicia, what's the one page in your Bible that's split? And I don't know, am I up on the screen? I am. This is my Bible. And there's one part in my Bible where the backing is split. And he took me straight there. And it's out of Hebrews 10. And I'm going to read that passage this morning while we stand, if that's okay. Is everyone okay on their legs? Everyone okay? Getting some summer legs? Come on, toughen up. I'm going to read you Hebrews 10. Because I believe that this scripture is for today. And I believe God's word works fast in your life when you hear His word. Yes? So I'm going to start in verse 19. And this is called a call to persevere. Hebrews 10 says, therefore, brothers, since we have confidence, everyone say confidence. I have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, and that is His body. We've just celebrated that in communion. The breaking of His body. It's given us a new and living way. And since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith. Full assurance of faith. Having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess. For He who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we might spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. If we deliberately keep on sinning after we have received the knowledge of the truth, no sacrifice for sin is left, but only a fearful expectation of judgment and of raging fire that will consume the enemies of God. Anyone who rejected the law of Moses died without mercy on the testament of two or three witnesses. How much more severely do you think a man deserves to be punished who has trampled the Son of God underfoot, who has treated as an unholy thing the blood of the covenant that sanctified him, and who has insulted the Spirit of grace? For we know Him who said, "It is mine to avenge, I will repay." And again, the Lord will judge His people. It is a dreadful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Remember those earlier days after you had received the light, when you endured in a great conflict full of suffering. Sometimes you were publicly exposed to insult and persecution, and at other times you stood side by side with those who were so treated. You suffered along with those in prison and joyfully accepted the confiscation of your property because you knew that you yourselves had better and lasting possessions. So, do not throw away your confidence. Amen? So do not throw away your confidence. It will be richly rewarded. You need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what He has promised. For in just a little while, He who is coming will come and He will not delay. And by my righteous one will live by faith, and I take no pleasure in the one who shrinks back. But, everyone say but, we do not belong to those who shrink back and are destroyed, but to those who have faith and are saved. Can anyone say amen? Amen. That's who we belong to this morning. Come on, you need to praise God this morning that you belong to those who don't shrink back, that we're not going backwards, that we're not going back to last year, that we're going forward. You believe, you are saved, you have a hope and a promise and something to look forward to in 2017. And so something on the inside of you can stand up and say, I will not throw away my confidence because Jesus, you are doing something. And I can see it coming over my horizon. And anyone who believes that can turn around and say, I will not throw away my confidence to two other people as we take a seat. Amen. I'm going to ask Innocent to come up quickly. Innocent, can you come up and join me? I believe that last week's message, and if you didn't hear last week's message, Sean said something interesting to me because Innocent has an African accent and so we have to listen closely. Amen? And we have to listen closely to what he said. And I felt like last week's message was actually a prophetic statement in God. Where is the cloud? Where is the presence of God? And he talked about the fact that sometimes the presence of God is in the desert and sometimes it's on the mountain. And so I want Innocent to pray before we get into this morning's message. Is that all right? Let's pray.
Father, we thank you this morning in the name of Jesus. We are so privileged, oh God, to be in your presence. And we want to thank you for the word that you've got in store for us. We are encouraged, Holy Spirit, that you are here in our midst. We pray, oh God, for Alicia. I just want to pray for an anointing, oh God, that is going to bring down the heavens on us. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray that your word might find fertile ground so that it profits, oh God, everyone who is going to hear and listen to this word. We thank you, oh God, for the mighty move of the Spirit. Thank you for your presence. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Thanks, Innocent. Amen. So this passage in Hebrews 10, this passage in Hebrews 10, the author of Hebrews is writing to a people who are beginning to have a crisis of confidence. Now, there's times in our lives when we lose confidence. Where we lose confidence. And I laughed this week. I was talking to Sharon last weekend and Sean got up the other week and talked about the new year and he's like, I'm one of those people that faces the new year with expectation and I journal, you know, what I'm looking forward to this year. Well, guess what? I'm not. I'm one of those people that says, do not talk to me about this year. I'm not ready yet. I'm on holidays. And I will extend my holidays as long as possible. Because most of the time I get to the end of the year and I'm like, exhausted. I'm tired, I'm emotionally exhausted from whatever's happening this year, and I'm not ready to take on a new year. And I know some of you are here today that are like that, yes? Not everyone. I'd like to be the opposite, but I'm not. That's how what I'm like. This year's a bit different. I'm quite positive about this year. But we do have times where we lose our confidence. And confidence is a really funny thing. I remember when I was a junior, 15-ish, I think, and I was asked to start playing touch football. And touch football, for those who don't know, it's a bit like rugby without the tackling, thank goodness, amen. But touch football is a game where you are throwing a ball backwards, trying to run forward, and trying to run through a line of people that are ahead of you to score a try. So in theory, it's impossible. And we were playing, I was asked to go and play with the Division 1 women's side. And I was just young, I was still learning the game, and it was tricky. And we were down on the beach, and the whole point in touch football is that when you see the gap in the defenders, you've got to go. You've got to be able to see it, and you've got to have the confidence that if you hit that gap, you can get through and score that try. Now, I had no confidence. I'd just get the ball and just run up and just get touched and put the ball down. That I was really good at that bit. Run up, touch, put the ball down. And I remember this profound moment on the beach as a junior. And some of these women were in the state team and all that kind of stuff. And they would just have a crack. They'd be diving and throwing themselves everywhere because they had the confidence to say, if I give this a crack at some point, I'm going to get through this line and I'll score. And so I looked at them and said, well, what if I just gave it a go? So I ran up to a gap. I faked the ball. The defender went for it. And the gap opened up. And I went to go through it. And I lost my confidence. I was like, oh, I don't know what to do. So I stopped. And they touched me. And my coach walked up to me and said, what were you doing? You were through the line and you stopped. It was a profound moment where I realized in that moment that part of my ability to be successful on the touch football field was not to stop when I started breaking the line. And I do that now as a netball coach. I say to my girls, I want you to imagine that you can't be stopped. I want you to imagine that you are the greatest netball player in Tasmania. Just for a moment. And they look at me and they laugh and they giggle. Actually, they look down at me because they're all 6 foot tall girls. And they're like, who's this crazy little coach telling me that I should imagine that I'm the most successful netball player in Tasmania? But the minute that I get them to do that, and then I get them to do the drill again, they perform to a higher level. Because confidence is a funny thing. It's a funny thing. And through Hebrews, the author, before he gets to confidence, he said, let me tell you why you have confidence. And if you read Hebrews, it's a bit tricky sometimes. It's my favourite book in the Bible. But it's a bit tricky because he makes a lot of arguments around understanding the theological basis for Christianity in the New Testament, around the Old Covenant and the New Covenant. And he says, in the Old Covenant, there was God. And the only way people could approach God is to come and make sacrifices for their sins. Come and make sacrifices for your sins. And then, not only that, but I'm going to have a high priest. And it's going to be a human. And you're going to send the high priest into the most holy of holies, into my presence, to make sacrifices on behalf of the people. And only then will the people be right in the eyes of God. And so the author of Hebrews is saying, in that context, guess what? You don't live under that anymore. You live under the new covenant, which is Jesus Christ has come, died, paid the sacrifice once and for all, now is risen again, sits at the right hand of God and speaks to God on your behalf, stands in the gap for your life and is the sacrifice now and forevermore. And so in that context, the author of Hebrews is saying the basis for your confidence is knowing that Jesus is better. Jesus is better than anything you've had before. Jesus is better than anything you've done before. Jesus is better than any of the rituals that have gone before. Jesus is better. And in that context, he's the basis for our confidence, and that is the motivation for our perseverance. Now, the Hebrew people, Christians at the time, were under pressure. They were under pressure. So this word comes to a group of people who were having a crisis of confidence under pressure. It wasn't working out like they thought. They'd been saved and become followers of Jesus Christ. And all of a sudden, instead of the salvation that they'd expected, there was persecution. And so they were starting to shrink back. So instead of pushing forward in their faith, they were starting to lose their confidence. And the passage tells us that confidence is our responsibility. It says, do not throw away your confidence. That is, you're the only one that can let it go. It can't be taken off you. So the devil, he'll look at you and he'll say, well, I can't take away their salvation. Jesus has done that. They've accepted it. I can't take away their salvation. I can't take away the promises of God. I'm not God. God made the promise. I can't take that away. I can't even take away your calling, because the Bible says your calling is irrevocable. So the devil says, I can't take away your salvation. I can't take away the promises of God. I can't even take away your calling. But I tell you what I can take away and have a crack at, and that's your confidence. The devil can attack our confidence. And fast forward in my illustrious touch football career, and I am playing State Cup touch down here in Hobart a few years later. And part of the training for that, I was playing Division One mixed against men who are faster, stronger, way uglier. And that was part of your training. Put yourself up against an enemy, a competition that is stronger, faster, harder than you can play. And so I got out there on the field, and there was one particular guy who was in the state men's team, so fast, and I am so slow. And I'm on the field against this guy, and it's a bit of a mismatch. I mean, it's a David and Goliath moment. And I got the ball, and I said, you know what? I reckon he's going to underestimate me. Yeah? A bit of a plucky confidence going on. I reckon he's going to underestimate me. So I thought, well, what have I got to lose? Absolutely nothing. So I got the ball. I got one of my players, the A-grade men player, and I'm like, come around me, come around me. And I made him, he passed the ball to me, I made him run all the way around me. And in touch football, that's quite it's quite an attacking move. And so this guy's, he's on me, and he's looked at this A-grade man running behind me, and he's like, oh, well, she's useless, I'm taking him. So he moves to follow the A-grade guy running behind me. Well, arrogant as I was, I have done a dummy pass to the A-grade man, looked up, and my defender has gone with him, and I just strolled across the line and put the ball down. Amen! Is that a good story? It's probably one of my highlight reels, but, I thought I'd share it. But the point being that the confidence that I'd had to learn on Turner's Beach years and years and years before gave me enough plucky courage to have a crack against an opponent that was stronger, faster, bigger than I was. And that's what life is like. The author of Hebrews is calling out to say, do not lose your confidence to take on things that look bigger, that look harder, that look stronger than you are, because you have a high priest behind you. He has made a way. He has already covered what's coming, and therefore you can have confidence to run through the gap. Amen? I'm a bit passionate about this, and if you don't help me preach, I'm going to keep going until someone gets excited. Thank you. That's better. No, I've lost where I am. Oh, that's it. Right. So this passage has three elements, and I want to cover three elements very quickly this morning. One is, in verse 19, it says, therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way open to us through the curtain, that is his body, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, you don't need a high priest to go into the presence of God anymore. Jesus has broken that curtain, opened the holy place. He's the one that's gone in. Let us draw near to God with a sincere heart, and with the full assurance of faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience. Your conscience will affect your confidence. When you're feeling guilty, you won't have confidence. And yet the funny thing about this passage is it says, have confidence to enter the most holy place, because that is where our guilty conscience is cleansed. So it tells us to have confidence to go in there, and yet having a guilty conscience takes away that confidence. So we stay away from God right when we need him the most. See, a troubled conscience comes from our past. Whether things are right between us and God, whether things are right between us and others. This passage tells us that with a sincere heart, you can enter the most high place and have your conscience cleansed through the forgiving work of Jesus Christ on your life. And when we start a new year, when you start a new day, when you start a new hour, keep your conscience cleansed. Keep bringing that stuff to God. And this passage is saying to keep your confidence, you need to know. You need to know, you need to know that you need to know that he will forgive you 77 times 7 if you have a sincere heart before God. That it's not going to be because you got it right that you can have confidence. God doesn't do what you ask him to do. God does what he was already going to do. He just asks you to participate in it. Just because you feel confident that you're a great person doesn't change how God works in your life. He's not interested in that. He's interested in what his son did on the cross on your behalf. Your confidence doesn't come from doing the right things. Your confidence comes because Jesus has already done it for you. The second thing that this passage talks to us about confidence. So one is your conscience. The second one is your challenges. This passage says, remember those earlier days. Remember the earlier days. There is something incredibly powerful about going back and thinking about challenges in your life, not just the challenge about what was hard about that, but the fact that God saw you through it. Going back to those times where his hand moved in your life, where he brought you through a challenge, will build your confidence. Look back. What has God taken you through? What did he do when you received salvation in your life? When you are saved from a lot, you never forget. You see, it was the hard times of your life that make salvation all the more extraordinary. The further you fall, the greater the lift back out of it. Anyone understand what I'm saying? The harder the time, the greater you understand the work of God in your life. See, sometimes there's a confidence that is only built when you have seen the hand of God go through your life in a hard time. You can't get that kind of confidence when everything's easy. It doesn't come. Because most of the time when things are easy, you're pretty sure it's yourself. When it's easy and it's all going well, you're pretty confident that it's going well because of what you're doing. And so sometimes there's hard times so that God's hand can be shown in your life where you are humbled before him and his hand gets shown and you can start saying, now I know that that could only have been God. And so the author of Hebrews is saying, look back at those times and remember the hand of God moving in your life. Because that will give you confidence that if he's done it then, he's going to do it again. And if he did it then, he's going to do it again. And if he did it then, he's going to do it again. Amen? Don't despair about hard times. It's got to be hard. God wants to reveal himself to you. He wants to reveal himself to you. Something stands up on the inside of me when I know that I know that I know that God has done some miraculous things in my life. Yes? God saved me when I was just out of university and I wasn't okay. And the extraordinary presence of God that I felt at that time and the what I felt in terms of a forgiveness and a cleansing of my life was something that I can only say that was God. He got me through all the tragedy that I felt around and the despair and the disappointment and the grief that I felt when I had my eldest son and I went through all of that stuff that was happening at that time. I used to get migraines. I remember coming up on an altar call and being prayed for, and I have never had a migraine since. Amen? There are times where God shows up. There were times where I was lying on my bed at night crying in the dark because stuff was not okay between Mark and I. And God turned up with a word or a scripture that encouraged me, that turned the corner, that gave me a strategy. It gave me something to focus on. He turned things around. He spoke to my husband and we reconciled. God turns up and shows his hand in those hard times when we're not thinking that it's us. And that's the basis for our confidence. Can I have the musicians, please? So that leads me on to my last one in this passage. So the author says, do not throw away your confidence because it will be richly rewarded. Cleanse your conscience because it's going to affect your confidence. Look back and remember what he's already done in your life. And the third thing that the author said to us is you now have a choice. Conscience. Challenge, choice. Two choices opposed in this passage of scripture. One is the choice to continue with your faith. One choice you have, which he compares, he says, if we deliberately keep on sinning after we have received the knowledge of the truth, no sacrifice for sin is left. That is, you have a choice after you've received salvation, what you do with it. And you can have a choice once you know the forgiveness and the love of Jesus Christ. You can turn your back on it. That's one choice that he poses us with. The other choice that this passage has, it says you have a choice when you have a crisis. Confidence or cold feet? See, the temptation here in this passage to the Hebrews was not that they were going to turn their back on salvation, but they were being tempted to just ease back, to just not push it too hard. Because if they push the work of Jesus in their lives too hard, then they were persecuted. So the devil kind of sometimes comes and says to you, hey, you're saved, just keep it on the low down, keep ticking along, it's all right, keep it in a box, keep sitting in your red seat, you're doing a good job. And Jesus said, that's not what I died for. It is what I died for, but there's more. And the confidence to take that salvation and to push on towards the promises that God has for you and for others and this city and this state and this nation is going to take a people full of confidence. And not confidence in themselves, but confidence to know that God is moving, he has a plan, he has a promise, and he will do what he said he was going to do. The Hebrew people weren't saying that they didn't believe in Jesus anymore, but their struggle was that it didn't look like what they expected. And maybe you hit the start of 2017 And some of the promises that you've had over your life don't look like you expected. And maybe you're not sure this year. We're not doing New Year's resolutions this year because, you know, I just don't want to push it. I don't want to put that thing back out in front of me again. I'm just going to pull back on it a bit. Keep it on the lowdown. And earlier in Hebrews, the author said to them, it's time to move on from the infant ways. It's time to move on just from salvation to greater things in God, into maturity. And the interesting thing is in this passage that the author is not focused on what the Hebrew people haven't received yet. It doesn't really talk about what you haven't received yet. It is a word that says to them, what have you received? Where were you and where are you now? It focuses on saying, look how far you've come. Do not throw away your confidence because more is to come. And that is an encouraging word that I believe that God's got on the inside of you for 2017 is to say, look what he's done in your life to this point, and come on, let's face 2017 and let's look forward to anything that comes, because what he's done back then, he'll do again. In fact, not only just that, he'll do more. And I can have confidence that his hand is on my life. Look how far you've come. Verse 38 says, and my righteous one will live by faith. And I take no pleasure in the one who shrinks back, but we do not belong to those who shrink back and are destroyed, but to those who have faith and are saved. That's who we belong to. Something on the inside of me wants to belong to that group. I'm going to believe and be saved and push on, because I believe greater things are yet to come. I am those who will walk boldly into the throne room of God. Broken, battered, didn't get it right. Haven't got it right this morning, didn't get it right last night. But I'm going to walk boldly into the throne room of Christ, because my confidence is on what Jesus has done and not on me. He's in there already. He's made the way. And I'm going to walk in there and I'm going to say, God, help me in my time of need. And help me with my confidence to believe in you. Despite all of this, despite what I read, despite what I see, despite what I'm feeling, despite what's just happened, despite, God, you have got your hand on this and you will bring it to pass. I can trust you. I know that your promises will be fulfilled. In Jesus' name. In just a little while. This passage says, in just a little while. God is preparing you for what he is going to do in just a little while. And our job is to keep our confidence and to know that he's going to do that. Let's stand up in the presence of God this morning. This message is for you. I want you to come straight away, because I'm going to declare some things over your life this morning. If you want to face 2017 with a confidence in God, I just want you to come down to the altar right now. I want you to come out in confidence and say, God, I want to attack this year with a confidence in my heart. Not on what you're going to do, not on what's going to happen, not on your ability to do it, but I'm talking about a deep-seated confidence in your spirit in God. If you want to come and have that something built in you this morning, that strength of your spirit, I want you to come. Just come straight away, and we're going to start declaring some things that are going to shift our spirit from being pushed back and maybe shrinking back to a spirit which says, I am one of those. Amen? I am one of those. Everyone say, I am one of those. We are those. We are those. I am one of those. Come on, let's say it. Let's scare the devil and say, I am one of those that will not shrink back. I will not shrink back. I will not shrink back, but I will believe and I'll be saved. Amen? Come on, come on. I think we're going to have to get innocent up here in a minute because, come on, I know that this, you're not expecting anything. You don't have to make anything happen. What we're declaring this morning is that God will make it happen. That you are putting your confidence back in Him this morning. That your context is that Jesus Christ has done everything that He needs to do, that you can look forward to this year with a confidence in your heart that you have everything that you need, that God's promises won't come back void. His word is not void. His word is active and alive, and it will happen. And even when we've stuffed it up, and even when we've made mistakes, by the glory and the mercy of God, He keeps going. He keeps moving forward. He keeps picking us up and saying, you can go again. Go again. Go again. Go again in 2017. Start to build the confidence on the inside of you. Let's just close our eyes and look towards Jesus today. Jesus, you have gone before us. You are greater than. You are greater than the angels. You are greater than the old covenant. You are greater than anything that we can imagine. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, I speak life over these people. I speak strength. I speak confidence. I speak a spirit of Caleb that comes up and says, I am not one of those. I am one of these. Devil, hear the spirit of the living God inside my spirit this morning that says, I am one of those. I am those that will not shrink back. I will not go back. I will not go back and not believe you anymore, God. I will not shrink back. I know I'm sick, but I'm going to believe you, God, because you said, by my stripes, I am healed. I know, God, that right now I've got a broken relationship in my family, but I will not shrink back because I'm going to stand. I will get up and pray every morning and speak the word of God over that situation. I know right now my work situation is not where I thought it would be, but God, I will not shrink back in believing that you have something bigger and better for me this year. God, I thank you right now that my ministry, it looked like it stopped. It looked like you came off my life. I felt dead. I felt gone. I felt like you weren't moving in my life anymore. But God, I am not those who will shrink back. You have called me to speak life to the poor. You have called me to love people. You have called me to worship. You have called me to prophesy. And I'm not going to shrink back, but I'm going to stand on my calling. And devil, you tried to take me out, but I'm not one of those because my calling has salvation on the other side of it. I am one of those who will believe, God, that you have my life in the palm of your hand in 2017. And there will be things that come against me. And you know what, God? I'm ready. I'm ready because I know that your strength of your hand will go before me. I am ready. Sarah Sipes, you have been positioned by God with those children in your hand. And while you may feel all those things which you have poured out in your heart before God, He says, do not throw away your confidence because I have put you in that place. It is my divine timing. It is my divine calling on your life. That in a little while, you will see the fruit of your hard work. And there's going to be a gap in time between when you have to work and when you will see what God has done through that. And He says, in that time, stand with a faith and a resolution in your heart that what you are doing matters. And it has value. And not only that, but it has divine future attached to it. I see God saying to you that the children in your care, your own children, and also Terrence and Chloe, they have an anointing on them from God, which you are fostering right now. And that call on your life is irrevocable. It's irrevocable. If you're still in your seat and you need to come, just come. Just come, because you're coming with a declaration of, I am having confidence this year, 2017, in my spirit. I am confident before God. I am confident. I am confident of this, that I will see God in the land of the living. I am confident in this, that He has not walked out on me, that He has not turned His back on me. He has not given up on me. He is there. He is waiting. He is calling. He is going to be behind you. He's going to be beside you. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Come on, let's just worship God. Let's just worship God. Put your hands in the air if you're comfortable to do so. But you're going to have to do something different to take your confidence back. It's going to be you. It's going to be you. You're going to have to start declaring some things which maybe you don't believe anymore. Maybe you've got a crisis of confidence. I believe there's a crisis of confidence in healing. Who's sick here this morning? Just come. If you're sick in your body and you need healing, just come. Come down to this left-hand side. Just come now. And I'm also asking for people who believe that God has called them to pray for the sick. If God, if you believe that at some point God has called you to pray for the sick, I want you to come to the left-hand side as well. And we're going to have confidence in the Word of God that says, by His stripes we are healed. And we won't shrink back because we've seen things that haven't happened. I'm not shrinking back. I've seen things that haven't happened yet. There are illnesses and sicknesses in my world that I have not seen God heal yet. But I'm not shrinking back because His word tells me that He wants to heal us. So I'm going to push on. Amen? Anyone pushing on? Anyone going to push on? Come on, push on and push through and take back your confidence. Take back your confidence. Okay, if you've been called to pray for the sick, I want you to pray for those people who came forward to be prayed for. And if I want you to pray and I want you to believe God. I want you to believe God. Believe God. You're not believing in yourself. You're not relying on your weaknesses. You are believing God in the name of Jesus that He will do what He wants to do. Amen. Take it back. Come on, if you're standing there, there is a fight on for your confidence. And there's a fight on. I believe the Holy Spirit is saying to me, there's people here today where the wrestle, the fight's on. And the devil's had you chained up. He's had you chained up for nearly a whole year where he's been telling you it's not possible. You can't get through this. You can't break this. You just need to accept it. You just need to keep going. You just need to survive it. You just need to finish off your days pretty average, pretty mediocre. In the name of Jesus, we're going to break those chains off this morning because that's not biblical. That's not the word of God over your life. That's not the word of God over your life. The word of God has so much more. The promises of God are so much more. Greater for breaking chains and pulling down of strongholds. There is more. And you have to take back your confidence. Take back your confidence. Jesus, we are asking, as that worship song said today, that we want an encounter. That we're here for you. We're here for you. God, forgive us. God, forgive us. Forgive us for the times that we failed. Forgive us for the times that we've shrunk back. Forgive us for the times that we haven't got it right. Forgive us, God, for the times where we haven't believed. And where the situation looks so big that we did just step back. God, forgive us. God, I know you've come through before. I know I felt your presence before. I know that you moved mightily before. I saw that. I felt that on my salvation. God, I felt it. I knew that you were real. Jesus, you came into my life and you did something extraordinary. I, I know that you turned up. I know that time that was you that arranged that circumstance. Jesus, I know that was you when you healed my body. Jesus, I know that was you when I felt your presence and I cried and you helped me through that hard time. Jesus, I know that was you. And if you did it then, you're going to do it again. And if you did it then, you're going to do it again. Jesus, I am standing this morning in confidence before your throne this morning. Maybe you're here this morning. Just if you're on that altar call, just stay in the presence of God. Just stay there. But maybe you're here this morning and you have no idea what I'm yelling about. But you can sense the presence of God in this place this morning. Jesus Christ is your hope. He's the answer to your future. He is the forgiveness of your past. He is the wiping clean of every sin in your life. He is the love and the joy and the peace that you have been searching for. And if you're here this morning, maybe you're feeling God move, but you've never accepted Jesus Christ into your life. Maybe you've heard about him. Maybe you found yourself here this morning and you're not sure what it's all about. God worked out that you'd be here this morning. And he wanted you to hear the word of God this morning. And he says, I sent my son. You don't have to try and do it anymore. I sent my son. And he died in your place. He did everything that needed to be done. And all you have to say is, I accept and thank you, Jesus, for dying for me. Forgive me. Sincere heart, forgive me, God, and put me back on the right track with you. Is there anyone here this morning that wants to pray that prayer? I'm going to pray it with you. Is there anyone here? Just raise your hand and you can put it straight back down again. But I just want to know, is there anyone here that I'm going to pray with this morning? Just raise your hand. Thank you, I see your hand. Is there anyone else here this morning? Is there anyone here this morning that wants to do that? Just raise your hand and put it straight down again and I'm going to pray. Thank you, Jesus. Church, we're going to pray all together. Because the context of Hebrews is that Jesus is better. And we need to remind ourselves sometimes that we're saved. So let's pray this together. Jesus, I thank you for dying on the cross. In my place. That you did everything that was needed to be done. To forgive my sins, to pay the price for every one of my mistakes. And I thank you this morning for your forgiveness. I receive you into my life. I plan to make a new start. And I thank you that you will be with me every day. For the remainder of my life. In Jesus' name. I'm going to hand over to Stevie now. And I know that we've got a barbecue. But let me tell you, when we go to this barbecue, we're going to be celebrating because God's done something extraordinary this morning. Amen? And in this song, as we sing it, I'm believing God that as you sing this, the chains are going to fall off. The challenges that have been coming against you are going to shrink back. That you're going to stand up on the inside and begin to praise a God that is going to take you through 2017, not by the skin of your teeth, not dragging, kicking and screaming, but he's going to take you through 2017 in victory. Amen? In victory. In victory. That's where we're going. In Jesus' name.